Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Oh, damn. Tyler Milner, our trusty producer, with breaking news. What's the latest?
Well, this is from Aaron Wilson. He says Lonnie Johnson is expected to start at safety next to Eric Murray with Justin Reed. Even though he is listed as questionable with that sprained knee, he is not expected to play against the Panthers per a league source. Reed's injury isn't regarded as a long-term injury, but he is not expected to play tomorrow night against the Panthers.
That hurts. We came into this week where you said in the game the Texans lost their most important piece on both sides of the ball. And hell, if we believe that report from Aaron Wilson, Clint, they won't have their two most important pieces on both sides of the ball in this game at all.
Yeah, so look, 3 weeks ago, you had a starting secondary consisting of four players, Bradley Roby, Justin Reed, Eric Murray, and Terrence Mitchell. And now you look at it, Mitchell's got concussion issues.
And he didn't practice today.
Eric Murray, he went out of last week's game as well with what looked like could have been a concussion. He is down. He's playing downhill. One thing Eric Murray will do is tackle somebody.
Yeah, he's still with his body up.
But then Bradley Roby's been traded, and now Justin Reed's out. I mean, you've lost two of your starting secondary since the start of training camp, and you've got one of them that's got some concussion issues from last week. So this secondary is in a really, really bad spot. That's the negative. Is you're in a position where your safeties really have to protect your corners in this scheme. You feel really good about Justin Reed being able to do that. I think the jury's still out on how you feel about Lonnie Johnson being able to do that. We will see. We do know this. The good of it is that Lonnie Johnson was a ball hawk in preseason. Lonnie Johnson will get physical down around the line of scrimmage. And so we'll see if that trend continues for Lonnie Johnson himself now that he's being plugged in as the starter at the safety position.
This isn't a lot of good. If you just missed it, Lonnie Johnson, according to Aaron Wilson, Lonnie Johnson Jr. is expected to start at safety next to Eric Murray with Justin Reed, who has a sprained knee, questionable, and not expected to play against the Panthers tomorrow night. Reed's injury isn't regarded as long-term, but he still, according to Aaron Wilson, isn't expected to play. After the first quarter, the first half, this dude was like defensive player of the week, forcing two turnovers, got the pick, and forced the fumble with a hit. This was your best player the way the season started thus far. Three turnovers he's forced on the defense, and that's what you need to help you with this young quarterback taking over. So man, Eric Murray back there, and Lonnie Johnson, that's for some Texans fans a nightmare to think of those two back there, but yeah, we'll see. And not to mention this, Kamu Grugier-Hill did not practice for a second day in a row as well today either with his injury. So this is interesting right there. As you said, Terrence Mitchell also didn't practice either. So we'll see.
Terrence Mitchell is actually officially listed as out as well.
Oh,
so So wanted to make sure you got that in.
Terrence Mitchell is listed as out. So Terrence
out of practice on the injury report today, or out for the game?
The injury report lists him as out for the game. Oh, it just hit the wire.
Okay. Holy cow. The only remaining starter in the secondary that you started training camp with is Eric Murray.
And Big Vern. What? No, you said training camp, so yeah.
Well, I guess the right one would be Des King, right? So Des King is I guess, part of the secondary at that nickel cover position. Wow, what are they going to do at corner?
Big Vern, is Desmond King going to play the slot like they want him to, or is Tremont Smith going to start now on the outside?
I think you push Tremont Smith out there and you elevate Jimmy Moreland, right? I mean, that's got to be your next best thing.
He's got to be.
Wow. Thin so in the secondary, thin at the wide receiver position.
Let's recap that real quick. So two starters out, right? Potentially out. Well, we got Terrence Mitchell out, the corner, and I think your best corner on the team. And then Eric Murray, he's going to play. But Justin Reed, who didn't practice again today, Aaron Wilson is reporting. It looks like Lonnie Johnson Jr. will start in his place because he's not expected to play with the sprained knee. So two guys out of the secondary. And, hell, we didn't got to the receiver position, who's out, multiple guys.
I think it is important to note, though, Show, that Aaron Wilson's reporting that he does think, and what he's hearing, Reed isn't going to play. But on the official injury report as of now, Reed is listed as questionable.
But we'll see there. That is in a bad spot, especially after what you just watched from Sam Darnold and Moore and Robbie Anderson and that crew.
What are the odds of this happening at the two positions where they chose to be thin?
Right.
I mean, it's almost, you know, it's one of them deals where, like, you chose to be thin at the receiver position. You trade Bradley Roby, trade Keon Crossan. I mean, you chose to be thin at the corner position, and now, wow, you're down to, I don't know how they're going to, the number two corner, like, Vern's the number one. Vernon Hargraves is the number one corner right now. I don't know who your number two is going to be. Do you bump Des King out there? Do you?
I would say let's keep Des King at the slot. No
Agreed.
Reason to mess up two positions.
Agreed.
And push Tremont Smith or Jim Moreland out there.
Well, Tremont, let's see what you got, baby.
He played a lot last week.
UCA, Central Arkansas Bear, baby. Let's see what you got.
Don't feel great about it.
Wow.
He can run.
We know that much.
I tell you what, Camu Grugier-Hill, I never thought I'd say this, but that joker better get himself healed. They'd be down two linebackers then, the starter and him.
Two linebackers,
Kevin
corner,
Pierre-Louis
safety.
Already out. Good God almighty, man. Right, and we still haven't heard anything about the receiver situation. Clint, I'm looking at this depth chart, and as we've talked about this before, I have looked at this depth chart the way I have done many times at night with the refrigerator, opening up that refrigerator and thinking it was going to change every time I look. And I keep looking at this, and it keeps saying four people. Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Andre Roberts, and Anthony Miller.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said.
I mean, that's what I keep seeing. That move has to come soon. Now, they've got to bring yeah. That's got to come. I know James Palmer, who we just had on, said they got until tomorrow to make that happen.
Well, those guys are you know, I mean, you got the two guys in Jordan Vesey and Chris Moore that they would pull up off the practice squad. And especially at this close to game time, that's really the only option. I don't know what the guidelines are in terms of when you have to announce who you're moving up and who you're not, but I would expect to hear that sooner rather than later on which guy they bring up. And I believe it's going to be Chris Moore. I believe Chris Moore is the guy. If not both of them, I think Chris Moore is the guy that can come up and add you. You know, he can give you some depth at all the positions across the board at the wide receiver position, so you don't have to rely on Andre Roberts to do that.
Feels like it can't be just him.
Big 3-3, number two.
Here's 11, Miss Diaz. Diaz hits the ball hard to center field. Back on it, Lagares, and he'll look up. Back-to-back jacks! Diaz bows Tucker. Hits one to the rocks, and the celebration is on.
All right, Dusty Magic Man Baker. Doesn't matter what lineup he puts out there, they're scoring 10 runs a game. And telling me, and I believe he says it, chuckles and says, "Show kiss my ass every day that it comes up." They win 10-5. They're 90-61. They're 2.5 back of the Rays for the number one seed in the American League. They got three games against the Rays later on this season. They got their magic number is 4. Tyler still isn't sold yet that the Astros are going to win the AL West. Although I don't know what else he needs to see, but. But no, they're in good shape right now, and then going after the number one seed is a real possibility at this point.
I think there's two for the Astros fans down there. For me, what I'm watching is obviously if they can make that series versus the Rays mean a little bit more than it would if it was just a regular season being a regular season series. Number one, can they tighten that down a little bit to where those games actually mean something? Number two is Yuli in this batting title.
Yeah, man. He's battling who I think should be the American League MVP, but Vlad is they're close.
They're close, and Yuli is tearing the cover off the ball. I think he was 3-for-4 two nights ago, and last night when I went to bed, I think he was 2-for-2 with a walk or maybe two walks. I don't know what he ended up last night, but it was one of those where they're within 2 points of each other, I believe.
Last I saw was 320 and 317, and that was before last night's game.
He was up to 319.
So it's probably changed.
Yeah, so that's that race down the stretch here is going to be fun. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a big fan of Yuli, and obviously a big fan. He's obviously, I'm a fan of good baseball players Gladys. That play for my team, but he's a dude that's easy to like, man.
Vlad is hitting 321 and Yuli's hitting 319.
There you go.
Brantley's hitting 315.
There you go.
2-3 in the American League.
Come on.
And guess who's fourth? Nicky Lopez.
Nicky.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
Unbelievable. All right. The Hall of Fame, at least the final, or not finalists, but the nominees have been announced. And leading the way, Steve Smith, the receiver. DeMarcus Ware, former Cowboy and Bronco, and Houston Texans own. I believe we talked about it's the first Texan ever to be nominated for the Hall of Fame. Andre Johnson, who we sat down and spoke with yesterday, and I hit him with the question yesterday, should you be a Hall of Famer?
I mean, if you're just basing off numbers, yeah. I mean, I do think I deserve to be in it.
All right, that's him. He thinks he deserves to be in it, and he's up at this point now. This is his first year of eligibility, and I think he's got a really good shot at it. It'll be surprising. So there's been some really good receivers that haven't gotten in on the first year, T.O., Chris Carter. But Andre Johnson was definitely one of the best in the game while he was playing.
Hey, there's no doubt about that at all. I mean, that's going to be a good class, you know. I mean, you look at Steve Smith, ice up, son. Yeah. I love Steve Smith's game just like I loved Andre Johnson's game.
If those two wide receivers, if you were sitting in there, and we know John McClain's going to go to war and go to bat for Andre Johnson, who would you pick? If one of those receivers, if you had to say the guy that I would pick to get in before the, if I had one to pick, Steve Smith or Andre Johnson?
I don't know Steve Smith. I haven't heard Steve Smith's case. So I'm going to go Andre Johnson based off the numbers that I heard John McClain, he gave us right here not too long ago when he joined the show. I know Andre Johnson's got a hell of a case. I don't know. I honestly do not know. I've never studied Steve Smith to know what his numbers look like. I personally loved his style of play.
Yeah.
I love what he brought to the table in Baltimore and in Carolina, but I don't know where he ranks with the greats. Like John McClain sat down across this table from us right here in the studio and laid out three or four different categories where Andre Johnson is equal to or better than guys that are already in the Hall of Fame. And so I don't know how you argue Andre Johnson not getting in. I don't know if Steve Smith's numbers are that good.
Someone who was in Kansas City and the Texans weren't one of the most popular teams, I knew Andre Johnson was a dude. And so that, to me, I put him in as well. All right, we'll get this thing settled out. The recent news dropping, the Texans secondary appears to be in complete shambles getting ready for this game tomorrow. We'll give you the latest on who's out. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, Tyler, give us the latest breaking news with the Texans.
Secondary isn't looking good, fellas. The injury report is out. Terrence Mitchell is officially ruled out for tomorrow's game against the Panthers with that concussion. And although Justin Reed is listed as questionable on the injury report with that knee injury, Aaron Wilson is reporting that league sources have told him Reed is expected not to play and that Lonnie Johnson Jr. will be lined up at safety alongside Eric Murray.
All right, Clint, this to me this sounds very, very bad for the Texans and their chances to win this game defensively. The secondary, I'd say it's been playing pretty well the first two games. They've had some hiccups. You know, Big Vern will go Big Vern at times. They've had some hiccups, yeah. So they played pretty well, tackled a lot better, and we've not seen any just absolute miscommunication brain farts that lead to wide open receivers like we saw repeatedly last year. But, man, you can't sustain all of this. Potentially no Justin Reed, which is huge for you. He's been your best player defensively. And now your best corner now, Terrence Mitchell, is out. As you said, Eric Murray didn't completely come away from that game without any issues. He may not be completely right. This is really, really difficult for the Texans right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They were already thin, particularly at the cornerback position. Now they're thin across the board in the secondary at the cornerback and the safety position. And it's a big-time problem because you got Joe Brady, who's one of the best offensive minds in the game, coming to town. You've got Sam Darnold, who is an extremely talented quarterback, looking more like his USC days right now than he was his New York Jets days. That's for damn sure. He's got Christian McCaffrey, which is a guy that can move and shake. And you need to know your secondary and your linebacking crew needs to know where he is at all times. And then, oh, by the way, they got a couple of really, really good wide receivers in Carolina that are very dangerous. They jump off the film when you watch the game tape. And so there's a hell of an offensive football team coming to town. And you are extremely thin in the secondary. This is a big-time problem. And you know what it does show? Obviously, those positions, the backups, it's next man up. Those guys have to play well, obviously. But what it does is it puts more pressure, once again, on the defensive front. Right? Yeah. The strength of this defensive football team is the 7-8-man rotation inside on the defensive line position. And so those guys, it all started – with them anyway. The success that the secondary's having, that Justin Reed had last game, that everybody had the first game versus Trevor Lawrence, that all started. The catalyst was the defensive line, okay? And so they weren't going to win this football game if the defensive line didn't play well anyway. It was going to be tough sledding for them if the defensive line didn't play well as they have to this point. If they didn't play well, it's going to be tough. So this now it's an absolute – it's more important than it was. It's already important. Now this defensive line has to go out there and play really, really special and get some of those overthrows from Sam Darnold that hit Lonnie Johnson in the chest.
Yeah.
You know, get some of those throws in the flats that are late and get Big Vern a cheap interception opportunity. The pressure has been ratcheted up in a big way on this defensive line because they're just too thin at the corner position to take too many risks.
From the show's Army text line, hey, God, what the F did we do? Just tell us. From the text line, people are really, really struggling with this. I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering, the first two things that come to my mind is, one, does this mean that Lovie Smith has to change how he does things, change calls? Does he have to protect guys? Is the defense going to be run the same way that it has been before if you don't have your quarterback back there, Justin Reed, and you got Lonnie back there instead, and you don't have Terrence Mitchell, your best corner, and you're working with, like, I think we talked about this before, you agree, you keep Desmond King in the slot, and then you put Tremont Smith on the outside, or Jim Moreland, one of them on the outside, along with Big Vern, you roll that way. But with that alignment, do you feel like Lovey's got to go into this, looking at this differently?
Well, you look at it differently, but you don't approach it differently. I mean, you look at it in a way of, man, you got to be nervous as hell. I mean, this is a much better football team that they're up against than we thought they were going to be, and you are much thinner in the secondary than we thought you were going to be. So there's a double whammy there for the Houston Texans. But you just go into the game and look, the first two games, the way that they've unfolded the first game you were able to stay in a shell coverage. You were able to keep two safeties on the roof and protect your corners in a big time way. And the D-line was able to move Trevor Lawrence consistently off of his spot. Last week, I think you had to do some different things defensively to stop the run, but you knew that you weren't going to over – for 58 snaps, you weren't going to expose your corners if you did indeed put them on an island because you knew they were going to run the football, and their this tendencies are to run the football more in Cleveland. This is one to me where I think it leans more towards the plan that we saw versus Jacksonville, where you see a little more – zone coverage, force him to throw the football underneath, eliminate the big play, and then see how the game, what's this game look like at halftime? And then you decide at halftime, okay, now we got to roll the dice a little more, or we can keep doing what we've been doing defensively. But I think to expose these corners and to expose this secondary early in this football game versus Joe Brady and Sam Darnold would be an absolute mistake. Hell, it would be a mistake what I'm watching on film from Sam Darnold.
See, that was
it would be a mistake
part.
Anyway.
That was my other thought was, one, does Lovie have to change things up? And if you're just joining us, Terrence Mitchell, their best corner for the Texans, is out with a concussion, ruled out. Justin Reed is ruled questionable. So is Kamu Grugier-Hill. They're both questionable. But Aaron Wilson says that they don't expect Justin Reed to play, and Lonnie Johnson Jr. will step in at safety. And that was the other thought is, if you're Sam Darnold and you see this, and you are Joe Brady and you see this, the Panthers offense, who've been successful the first 2 weeks, feeling good about themselves, what's your mindset? You see this group, they're running out. What are you thinking? I'm sure you're chomping at the bit if you're Sam Darnold.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, there is absolutely zero question about it. You've got checks in your offense. If you're Sam Darnold and Joe Brady, you've got checks in your offense to where you see man-to-man coverage.
Oh God!
You're checking red ball, and we're going downtown, baby. We're taking shots somewhere, and I ain't talking about drop back, hard play action, hold the football, wait for him to get 70 yards downfield, throw it as far as you can. I'm talking about get the ball off, and I don't care if there is a free rusher. You should have the ball in the air before that guy can get there. Types of shots for the Carolina Panthers. There's no question about it that if the Texans do get in a position where they have to be predictable and they have to bring and just flat out show Sam Darnold, hey, we're going to play man. There's no doubt about it. Him and Joe Brady will have automatic checks to taking shots. Now, if it's third and four, hell, that's what you want them to do, right? I'd rather them throw a low percentage shot than dial up some Christian McCaffrey little H post route over the middle for 8 yards every time it's third down, and Christian McCaffrey just eats on third down all day long. So it may work out in their favor some, but you better bet that this secondary will be targeted by Carolina in a major, major way.
All right, man. There's two starters, it appears, may be out in their secondary, and that's before you even look at the receiving core that has already had some starters and guys who are expected to play a lot missing going into the game, not to mention Tyrod Taylor. So injuries are really, really hurting the Texans as they get ready for the Panthers tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. Look here, the Tennessee Titans are really pushing the envelope. Everyone in Houston is going to be so fired up and pissed off when you hear this. We'll discuss that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, yes. Tyler is going to be fired up with many of you. 713-572-4610. You can text with that, call in with that as well. Clint, what are the Tennessee Titans doing? I think you used a great term, but rather aggressive that they are being with this. If you missed this, they sent out this tweet where they've now put the old Houston Oilers logo up there, and it says Tennessee Titans / Oilers. Love you blue, love you two-tone blue. And they've got a little video of the old Oilers emblem and everything. They know exactly what they're doing, don't they?
Oh, there's no question about it. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're leaning heavy on something that's extremely powerful. When we were in the middle of the Love You Blue years, it's obviously had stay in power because, hell, we had Dan Pastorini on a show yesterday, yes, and he had Love You Blue written on his Hall of Fame ring. I mean, it's clearly a very defining era of football here in Houston that's near and dear to many Houstonians' hearts. There's no doubt about it. To think they don't know that, right, would be crazy. And they even changed their Twitter account to Titans/Oilers. Yeah, I mean, I think it's petty as hell, to be completely honest with you. To be completely honest with you. And I can only imagine. Look, I mean, I was a youngster in the Love You Blue years, and so I wouldn't say that I was necessarily the one that you can gauge the.
I bet Nasty Jim just pisses him.
Oh, no question. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like my level of anger is probably not indicative of what the Love You Blue fans really, really feel today, because I was just a kid, you know. This is petty as hell, and I'm sure it has a big chunk of the, at least the old Oiler fan base, stirred up here in Houston in a big way.
No, it's ridiculous. Look, Tyler, this one I can just, Tyler was so angry. So angry when he saw it. And then we got it's petty as hell out of you, which is that's pretty high for you. This kind of stuff normally you can brush this stuff off. But you didn't, but I could tell Tyler was at a 10, and I saw so many other people around. For me, where it brings to is we've had this conversation. We talked about the Cowboys one time. We talked about it once where I tried to stoke the flame of this rivalry. Like, the Titans should be the number one team, to me, that Houston hates. I understand the – but they took your team, and now they rub it in your face. And people send in, oh, no, the Colts, we hate them more. We hate the damn Utah Jazz more. The Dodgers and the Cardinals, I understand there's some real rivalries there, but these guys have to be at the top of the list when them SOBs come in. Like, you got, like, that has to be the number one team you hate in Houston. I mean, this is low. This is a kick in the nuts for them. It's one thing they're putting Earl Campbell up in their Ring of Honor, and they got them up there, and they've got, like, the Bruce Matthews and stuff up there. But now they're going to do this just – I think they did that just because they got the rights and they can.
Yeah.
And that's bull.
Yeah, I can't give you more of a backhanded, I can't look, the petty aspect of it is to me as bad as it gets. I understand it's obviously something, there's obviously a history there with that particular organization, and it's always going to be a touchy subject, but I don't even know what the right way to handle these kind of things are, to be completely honest with you. But the whole social media changing the name, Love You Blue, all that kind of jive, that's pushing the limits, in my opinion.
Yeah, the change of the name, that was stupid. From the show's Army text line, whose ass do I got to find to kick? We got people out here. That's how Tyler, sometimes Tyler has sports mad, and then sometimes Tyler has, he really goes over the top mad. Like when you start talking about A&M real hard. Like when you do that, which I'm hoping you do later on this week. But he went to real angry.
Well, it's like what Clint said. I wasn't even an Oilers fan. Like, I was a little kid crapping my diaper when the Oilers were playing in Houston. But I know that is Houston. I mean, that their damn logo is an Oiler, Derek. Like, what are we doing, Tennessee? They need to just take a step back. And what really did it show is changing that name on Twitter. Like, what are we doing? The Tennessee Titans / Oilers? You aren't the Oilers. You aren't. You've been the Titans. I know the Oilers moved there for a year or two, but that wasn't your team.
Oh, Lord.
The interesting thing is that there's, like, I guess I could to a certain degree understand, even though this pisses me off more than ever because I'd love
you can
this.
Understand. Oh, I can wait to hear this.
No. I mean, like, I can understand in this process, you know, the Adams family not wanting to allow the Texans to wear the uniform and to use the logo and all those things. I guess from a business standpoint, I can understand where there's a falling out to the degree where, for whatever reason, they don't want to let that happen. Okay, whatever. Let's just move on. But when you take it to a whole nother level of, you know, like you're in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're claiming the history of what happened in Houston.
Changing your name to the Oilers.
You're claiming the era of Houston football that is – in history of the city has been the most powerful, the most well-known, right? I mean, that, to me, that's a little, again, it's petty. It's one of those, like, why, what are we doing? What's the point? This is a little bit much for me.
Yeah, if you missed it.
The only thing that make it worse if it was if they tried to do this the week that they played the Texans.
Yeah, well, they're putting Bum Phillips in the Ring of Honor this week.
Hmm.
Does anybody
in Nashville identify with they even
no,
know?
I know some people from Nashville. I don't think so. You know, I lived there for 5 years. I don't think they do. I didn't hear anything of like, oh man, Earl Campbell, he's our guy.
Like you have,
I mean, the closest thing is McNair and Eddie George because they played for both teams. But
well, that I could understand. You know, those players I could understand.
What should have happened is exactly what happened with Art Modell and the Ravens and the Browns. Like, honestly, the Oilers should – Houston, they should have been allowed to come back as the Oilers like the Browns did. When the Browns moved and went to Baltimore, Art Modell, who was hated like hell in that city, he still didn't uphold it and say, no, we're the Browns.
Right.
He allowed Cleveland to have their name. Really, like, the Houston Texans, everything, we're good with. But I feel if they had their druthers, they would love to be the Houston Oilers. They would be able to come back the Oilers just like the Browns did.
Well, it would be kick-ass for them to have a throwback uniform. That's for damn sure.
Well,
on throwback day, come out in them Oilers uniforms would be sick.
But the only team that can do that is the Titans.
Right. Yeah.
Because Bud Adams isn't – just took the team. He should have. Let's hear from Nasty Ass Jim, because Nasty Ass Jim was in that time frame. Go ahead, Jim.
How you doing this afternoon, gentlemen?
Yeah, great now.
Hey, first of all, I'll start with you, Show. Hey, and I'll get to Clint in a minute, but Show, I love them tough questions you ask these interviewees.
Hey, thank you.
Damn, a lot of people are giving you crap about pissing all these people off. You know what? We love well, I can't say we. I can only speak to myself. I love it. I love you asking them tough questions. So don't ever stop, man. You my man. I just got one question. Can you take that fishing curse off of me?
No, I didn't. I didn't take it off. I'm still. Well, no, you got to do a little bit more than kiss my ass a little bit, Jim, for me to take it off.
Take that fishing curse off of me, because you remember when I was in Colorado and I asked Clint about the fishing and I totally excluded you. I'm so sorry, man. Can you take that curse off? Because I ain't caught a fish in 3 weeks since I've been on this call.
All right, yeah, Jim. I won't play hard. I'm going to take that off. I'm going to take that curse off.
Yeah, take that off, because I need to catch a fish, because that's all I'm doing. Because like I said, I'm retired and damn near expired. So anyway, Clint.
Yes, sir.
The biggest thrill, Clint. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bub. I'm here.
Clint. The biggest thrill in my life, and I'm talking about a lot of years, the biggest thrill was watching them Razorbacks whoop the dog crap out of them Longhorns. You know why? Because I cannot wait. I hope I'm still alive when them Longhorns get in the SEC and they can take them pukey orange uniforms into every stadium in the SEC and totally get their butts whipped because they look stupid, they play stupid, and I have nothing against Austin. Well, I kind of do. And I really don't hate University of Texas, but I really do. But the Longhorn fans are the worst. I mean, they are the worst scum of the universe, and any time the University of Texas Longhorns get their ass whipped, I'm a happy son gun. So thank you for the time. Appreciate it. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Nasty Ass Jim.
Good luck, Jim. I hope you catch some fish, man. I hope you catch some damn fish.
God, dog, my goodness. Jim just bypassed the entire Tennessee Oilers Titans thing that he went through. But I'll jump in. Sean, let me let you jump in. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to chime in on the Tennessee deal as well. You know, as somebody that kind of went through this just in a different city, I think it's crap, man. In March 84, I was 13 years old. I grew up a Baltimore Colts fan, and the Baltimore Colts snuck out of town under the cover of night and became the Indianapolis Colts. And the fact that, you know, and I'm glad that you mentioned the Browns earlier, because the fact that Earl Campbell's records reside in Tennessee and Johnny Unitas's records reside in Indianapolis, that's wrong. That just shouldn't happen. And I love that when Modell came to Baltimore, Jim Brown's records don't belong in Baltimore. They belong in Cleveland, you know? So for me, I'm a little passionate about it. I was 13 years old and it hit home, right? I grew up a Colts fan and we were terrible. You know, Burt Jones and Lydell Mitchell and Raul Alegre, and, you know, I remember all that stuff. And the fact that Tennessee pulls this crap, that's a bunch of crap. And I'll tell you, I'll say this and then I'll hang up and listen. Anybody that was a Houston Oilers fan that that's a Tennessee Titans fan now should be ashamed of themselves, because every single Baltimore Colts fan, if you'd have said you're an Indianapolis Colts fan in Baltimore in 84, 85, 86, you'd have got strung up on a flagpole.
Oh, my goodness. Strung up on the flagpole. And by the way, Sean is talking to Tyler's father. That is Tyler's father all the way.
Some strong words there.
Tyler, your dad is
He was a diehard Oilers fan, man. I mean, he lived and died with them. He suffered through that horrible loss to the Bills. And then when they went to Tennessee, he just rode with them, and he's stuck with them ever since.
That's
a hard transition for me, man. Regardless of whose fault it is, I mean, there's something about being from here and rooting for a team that is here that's just special. It's hard for – now, look, I understand your pops, and I understand that. I mean, good for him. I mean, I hope that's worked out great. But it's just really hard to pull for a team that's not in your backyard where you grew up and who your parents love.
Especially how it happened.
Yeah, the whole thing sucks.
No, especially how it happened. I think that should be how it goes going forward. Like, if you were the Tennessee and you took the name, the Oilers, with you, that's one thing. But if you're going to drop it and go a whole nother name, and then that city gets football back, they should have the choice to take that name back. Like, that's rough. People on the text line are getting dark here from the show's Army text line. I will murder someone if they wear a classic baby blue jersey on throwback day. Good God, yeah. I think that's the next move. Have they done that yet?
What's that?
Have the Titans worn the Oiler throwbacks yet? I know when they first started, they were wearing those. They hadn't become the Titans yet.
I believe they have.
They've done that?
I believe so.
Oh, wow, that's low.
Don't. I'm not 100%, but
I've not seen it either.
I've not seen them do that, where they've come back with those throwback jerseys on. That'd be
painful if they did.
That'd be low. And Bob, what if they did it at home hosting the Texans? God, that.
You talk about petty to a whole other level.
Maybe that would be.
I know. In your messed up brain, you're hoping for it.
Yes. Why? Because no. I don't listen. I'm not someone who. I feel like that rivalry needs to be strong. I feel like that needs to be, and I think that would be the move to boil that sucker over.
It would definitely
that
boil
would
it
take
up.
It to the next level.
I don't know if it would be.
I don't know how much pissed the players would be, but that would boil that sucker over.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about NFL rivalries. I don't know how much the players are pissed anyway, but it anymore. I know back in the old days it was, but nonetheless, it would be painful to watch. That's for damn sure. I love those older uniforms, man. So again, I was a kid when it was happening. I don't know how strong my fandom was when I was six, but when it's all said and done, man, that uni is cold blooded, and I would love for the Oilers to be the Texans to be able to lean on those love you blue years and lean on that logo and those colors when every other franchise is out there celebrating throwbacks. You know, that would be would be really fun.
This Bum Phillips thing, like when he gets announced and that gets announced and he goes to the Ring of Honor, are they going to cheer like hell remembering the years of Bum Phillips in Nashville?
It'll be silent as hell in
no,
that stadium.
No, it'll just be like, what the? I don't get that. All right, Clint Sterner, run the show. Tyler producing this thing. And this is something very, very important. It's something that I'm really happy to be a part of. This is something that I've had experience working with people with. And that is this month being National Suicide Prevention Month. And join us for our special program of I'm Listening. It's a two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and in sports telling their story, Clint.
Yeah, sharing their experience and insight on mental health. We got a couple of our own here, man. Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts. They'll be opening up about their own struggle, and not just the struggles, but the successes when it comes to mental health and overcoming mental health and dealing with mental health. Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts, they got a pretty solid story, each one of them.
That's right, Clint. It's this Friday night. This Friday night at 8 o'clock, and you can listen to it right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It's once again called I'm Listening, a two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports telling their stories about this. And remember this, this is something that I've had experience with, and it can be a real help with people, is that you're not alone. You're not alone in this situation, and when you can hear other people's stories, you can relate, and it can be of great help. to others. So make sure you check that out. I'm listening. Coming up this Friday at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610. For more information, go to imlistening.org. All right, Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next. And listen, there's a tall order that's getting even more difficult for Davis Mills. But there is one element about what he has to face with the Panthers that at least can be helpful for him. We'll discuss that next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.